welcome to Fin Factor. I'm Paul.
And I'm Aaron.
This is episode number 212. And Aaron, where are we?
We are at Ancora Vino in the littlest Little Italy in downtown San Jose. We're actually right down the street from the SAP Center, and this is a great place to come before the game. Maybe not so much after because they close after the late game, but great place to go for wine and beer and food and open to all ages. So thank you for hosting us, and Ryan is here with us, and thank you for being here.
And Super Producer Jason actually chowed down on a couple slices of pizza. It looked fantastic, so also a great place to get some pizza. But Aaron, the reason we're here today, the NHL draft lottery is happening in, what, like 15 minutes, just moments away, essentially. And what's going to happen here is we're going to determine the fate of the San Jose Sharks pick for this upcoming draft here. So we spent the entire season just doing poorly, right? But the whole thing that we were talking about for this season was, you know, what's the goal? What are we trying to accomplish with the season, right? We're watching to see how Eklund produces, right? How he grows and everything else.
Right.
And then we skipped everything else and said, and the draft lottery, right? So, like, now that's done. Now we're here.
We are here.
Right? So what are you, obviously we know what you're hoping, but let's just go ahead and put it out there in words. What are you hoping is going to happen here?
I'm hoping for not too much disappointment. there's a lot on the line here, I guess you could say, because Celebrini is by far the number one prospect in this entire draft. There's consensus number one. That kind of doesn't always happen every year, but Celebrini is the number one prize here. The second and third are even kind of up for grabs, and then everyone after that, it is just everyone has a different opinion on who to take. So
it sounds like everyone has a different opinion on 2 through 10, actually.
Yes.
It seems like it's just everybody's got, you know, if you're taking a forward or if you're taking a defenseman or whatever else. You know what? The nice thing is, though, again, and I don't want to, I'm hopeful, right, that the Sharks are going to end up with the first overall pick. However, if it does not go our way, and we've talked about this before, the Sharks could use some good blue chip defensive prospects.
Absolutely.
And some of the best players in that top 5, top 10 are all defensemen.
Yeah.
So even if the Sharks don't end up with the ultimate prize, what everyone's saying is the consensus number one overall pick in Macklin Celebrini, I think that no matter what happens today, the Sharks are still going to come out ahead with a very good prospect in a position that they can use.
Yes, absolutely. I'm even hoping that, let's say they do get Celebrini and they get the first overall pick, that second pick that they have of the Pittsburgh Penguins that they use on hopefully whoever's left, if there's any good defensemen that maybe have slipped down a little bit, I think that would make me a little more happy and hopeful for that defensive core, because right now they don't really have that blue chip prospect. Now, at that, 14th round pick that the Penguins have, if it doesn't move, it's not going to be a blue chip prospect really, but it'll be a good player that'll probably be second, third pairing guy, but a guy who will make the NHL.
You know, the nice thing about the 14th pick, though, is that there's a lot of teams that have a different idea, again, of what it is that they want with their picks. The guys that are picking 5 through 10, they may have very different guys that are on their board, right? So a lot of them were saying, you know, a lot of the players that would be the second best player on their list are going to be available all the way through up until pick 10, which means a lot of these guys that could be going a lot earlier in the draft are probably going to keep falling.
Right.
Right. So there could be a very good player still available at 14. We don't know.
Falling compared to what? Like, whose list are you going off of?
Just everybody's list. Yeah. Everybody's list is different.
It's going to be very
point,
different.
Right?
There's going to be some teams that are going based on need, of positional need. There's going to be some that are just going to take the best player available because their prospects are just terrible anyway, like the Sharks. So who knows? It kind of could be like the year that Eklund dropped to 7th overall, where he was expected to go in the top 4, I thought, that year.
Mm-hmm.
So expect something like that. Hopefully Sharks fans will be excited for whoever falls down that low. I don't know. I don't know these guys too well, so I'm not quite sure. But I'm excited to see. And the other part of the lottery here is the Penguins pick, which is right now slated to be 14th overall. Could possibly, if they win the lottery, they can move up 10 spots, which means they would become 4th overall pick.
Right.
Now, the Penguins have 72 hours to, after this lottery, to let the Sharks or the NHL know if they're going to keep that pick. And if they do, then they send the Sharks their first round pick next season, which would be unprotected. And the Penguins, I don't believe, are going to be getting better than they were this year. So I almost kind of want the Penguins to maybe win the second lottery, the second pick.
Okay.
So the Sharks would keep the first one. I don't know how it would work, but basically have them move up, you know, not take away the first overall pick. So if they get Celebrini and the Penguins' first round pick next year unprotected, I think, to me, that would be a huge win for the Sharks. Best case scenario.
I think any which way you cut it, the Sharks are going to come out with a nice big win today. It's a momentous occasion here. Now, the Sharks have never picked first overall. They've only picked second as the highest, and that was Patrick Marleau. Now, they've had a player that was a first overall in Joe Thornton, same draft year, 1997, as Patrick Marleau, having them both on the same team at the same time. Pretty awesome stuff. But again, Sharks never really had the opportunity to pick first overall. So, again, it would be a shame to see that not happen today. We've seen what a second pick, second overall pick looks like. Patrick Marleau, absolutely nothing wrong with that player. Phenomenal Hall of Fame, just waiting, right? Jersey in the rafters, all that jazz. So, you know, you look at maybe the depth of the draft class and you say, maybe it's not as deep as, you know, other drafts have been. But when you look at a player like Patrick Marleau, for instance, and that's a guy that got picked second, certainly any one of these guys could potentially be in the same type of scenario down the road in their career as well.
Yeah, right. Hopefully there'll be some good players in this draft that come up a little bit later and will be Sharks staples in the coming seasons. They won't be here next year. Celebrini could be, but all the other players that they would pick, I don't think we'd see him for a season or two.
So for the draft lottery, I just kind of want to explain a few things a little bit here. Well, we got on the screen there, it's starting to go. We're not going to show you that because ESPN. So that you guys understand, the Sharks have an 18.5% chance of winning the lottery. However, they do have a 25.5% chance of having the first overall pick. And the reason that is that the teams that can only move up 10 spaces, teams 12 through 16, they can only get picks 2 through 6 at the highest. So if any one of those guys win, well, that extra percentage gets lumped into the Sharks basically getting that first overall. So, so we're rooting for 12 through 16,
right.
Or yeah. Rooting for 1, right? Right? So that's what we're aiming for here. So that's kind of how the percentages shake out. I know a lot of people were a little bit confused because it was saying 18.5 and 1, this is 25.5 and another. That is the reason why. If you're far enough down the line and you win it, the first team in that slot retains their first overall pick. So that is the reason for that one. Anything else that we want to say about the draft order and all that stuff first?
No, just it's an 18.5% chance of winning the lottery and then 25.5% of keeping the first overall pick.
And so the worst that the Sharks can do is third. If two teams leapfrog the Sharks, because they have the balls for the first overall and the second overall, so it could really only push the Sharks down to the third. At worst, we're looking at a third and what, 14th?
No, wouldn't they get bumped down too? Or no, they wouldn't get bumped down.
The other guys would just jump ahead of them.
Yeah, unless
at worst, a third and a 14th. Two picks in the first round.
Yeah.
Could be,
not bad.
You know, yeah, exactly, not bad. I'm more than happy with that. Considering all the years that we've had, I don't know, no first round draft picks, to have two, especially in the first half, certainly a welcome sight to see for Sharks fans alike.
Yes, and I was going to say the Sharks have, I believe it's for this draft, it's 4 picks in the first 50 guys.
So they're going to second round,
of this. Well, overall, they're going to get 4 of the top 50 prospects coming into the league, which is pretty good.
Yeah,
not bad. Thanks to New Jersey's pick from Timo Meier last year.
Absolutely. And adding to an already growing prospect pool, again, GM Mike Greer doing a great job. I heard someone, I can't remember what network it was on, but they were saying that it was a painful rebuild. And to me, a painful rebuild was Buffalo or the Ottawa of old, right? I mean, that was painful. And when they're trying to rebuild, and then they get their star player, Jack Eichel, right? And then it doesn't go well, and they have to trade him away, and they start that rebuild process again. That's a painful rebuild.
Brutal, man.
Right?
That's just a constant rebuild.
For the Sharks, that wasn't really even a rebuild until Mike Greer got there. Like, they were still trying to pump out, okay, we're still trading our first. We're giving big contracts. We're signing big guys, right? We haven't really started to rebuild until Mike Greer got there. So has this been a painful process? No, it's been a losing process, absolutely. But has it been a painful rebuild? I can't agree with that necessarily, would you?
Well, it's been painful to watch the last couple seasons. But I don't know what you consider not painful. I think it's been painful, and he's done it a different way. And again, I go back to this on the show. I like to say, I want to compare how Chicago's doing it versus how the Sharks are doing, because Chicago did a complete fire sale and got rid of everybody at once, whereas the Sharks slowly deconstructed and got picks over time. Yeah. I think, I mean, maybe because I'm biased and we're a Shark show, but I think the Greer way is going to be a little bit better because he's kind of got more of a long-term plan, where Chicago is just like, let's wipe it clean and start over right now, whereas he said, okay, methodically, we're going to take these pieces away, start adding cap space over time, especially in two seasons when the UFAs are going to hit the market, really high-profile UFAs. They could possibly target two seasons from now as the date that they can go heavy in on some of those UFAs to complement the young guys that they're drafting now and all these picks that they're coming in and all the prospects that are coming in. That Tomas Hertl trade got Vegas' first-round pick, but it also brought in Edstrom, who's going to be he's not going to be a top-six guy, but he's going to be a pretty good bottom-six guy for years to come. So there's a lot of prospects that are in the pipeline for the Sharks, and they're going to be better. And even the Barracuda in the next year or two are going to have some of those guys coming in. Yeah, and they're going to be really good and really fun to watch, and also a much more affordable option for those people with families and stuff who want to go to those games and sit close and see the real young guys that are up and coming that will eventually graduate to the Sharks. But I'm very excited, and I think that they're in a very good space right now. I don't want to say better than Chicago, but I mean, granted, Chicago won the Bedard sweepstakes last year, and we'll see if they win Celebrini this, you know, how many people are going to cry?
Oh, God.
Foul if Chicago wins today.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I'll probably be one of them, to be honest with you. But no, it's not. We know that, right? We know that there's no way they're going to rig this thing. And in fact, Shang Peng, a good friend of the show, Shang Peng with San Jose Hockey Now, he's actually there in New Jersey, correct?
Correct.
Yeah,
he's in the room.
He's in the room, locked away, leaded walls, and no cell phones and everything else. So he gets to see the whole process, and I guess he's going to have an article coming out soon enough. Talking about that whole process and whatnot. So I think it'd be interesting to shed a little bit of light on that, because it's kind of mysterious. It seems kind of like, I don't know, like California Lottery when the balls are bouncing through, you know, that's how it is, right?
Kind of, but it's not, what is it, there's 1,000 combinations. Yes. The way they do it is four balls.
With the four ball combination, and then, yeah. So if you are the team that has that combination, then you win the pick, right?
Yeah, I'm pulling it up right now because someone had posted it, and I love this explanation. They did the whole math and showed everything on Reddit, on this Reddit thing. I mean, it's a lot. It's four. Can you see that?
Ridiculous. You don't need to go into great detail.
No, but there's four balls. Yeah. And then of the combination of those four balls, there's 1,001 combinations. So then from that, they take, every team gets a certain amount of combinations, kind of like lottery tickets, right? And the NHL just posted today the actual lottery ticket combinations for each team, so you can go see what they are, the actual combinations, which I think it's fascinating. I'm a nerd like that. I'm an accountant, go figure, right?
Yeah.
But I think it's really cool, and it made me happy, and I posted this in our fantasy league. Like, I was happy that Shang was there. It's kind of an outsider, a third-party person coming in to witness the whole thing. I never thought that it was rigged, but at least this gives some credence to it, and they have some outside people witnessing it and watching it. So can't wait to see what Shang has to say about the whole ordeal. Now, I think the room was about the size of this room that he was locked in, and they take your phones away and everything, your computer's phones, so you can't contact anyone until they finish this part of it. So he is sitting there probably dying and knowing where the Sharks already are and can't tell anybody about it.
So if you're following along on ESPN, you'll be able to see kind of the whole process. And we're going to be here reacting to it. There's a gigantic screen that we can't show you. But if you were here live, you did the smart thing and you showed up, you'd be able to see that. But I'm going to be looking over Aaron's shiny bald head to try to see what's going on over there from time to time. So don't mind me. But Aaron, obviously, again, Macklin Celebrini, kind of the number one prize that everyone's after here, right? So it was just kind of interesting that there are a few ties to the Bay Area with Macklin, and one of them was kind of eye-opening for me, just because I have kids that play, and they're getting close to a certain age that we'll be talking about in just a second. But Macklin's dad, Rick, is actually the vice president of health and, what is it? Health and performance?
Yeah.
Yeah, so for the Golden State Warriors.
Right.
Which, obviously, that tells you a whole lot about them as players with their conditioning and...
Well, he's a former soccer player, professional soccer player. He played in Vancouver for a number of years, so I believe he was born in Vancouver.
I think so. Yes.
So that checks out. Makes sense. And, but yeah, his dad has been working for the Warriors for a couple years. So there was actually an article about it a couple months ago where Draymond Green and Celebrini are friends, an unlikely kind of friendship, but pretty cool. And Celebrini kind of grew up and hanging around the team, so he knows those players really well. So it's funny to see outside other fandoms, they're saying it's rigged in San Jose's favor because of this connection to the Warriors. Which, right? Which, like, every Sharks fans, yeah, right, come on.
Makes
rigged
no
towards
sense,
the Sharks,
okay.
Ever? Is anything rigged for the Sharks? No, I don't think so. The Sharks only do things and then they create rules against it in the future. So, I think it's funny to see what other people think. Every team's fans think that the NHL's against them.
Yeah.
Which, if that doesn't work, right? That doesn't compute.
Right.
I mean, what about Toronto's fans? They think that the NHL's against them, even though they can't get out of the first round to save their lives, and it's fantastic, by the way.
I'm just gonna throw that out there.
I love watching that streak continue. I think it's hilarious. They haven't been to the finals since 1967, I believe.
As much as I don't like Boston, it's funnier to see Toronto
67
lose.
64? 67, right? Sorry, go ahead.
No, I just, as much as I don't like Boston, it's pretty funny to see that streak continue.
Oh, it's hilarious.
I'm okay with it. Boston can get bounced in the second round. It's fine. Yeah.
But it reminds me of, like, the Red Sox losing for forever and the Cubs losing forever, and it just doesn't end. So now think about it this way. If the NHL is against Toronto, you don't think the NHL would be for Toronto? Because you know what ratings gold that would be if Toronto would make it to the finals?
Right.
Everybody and their mother would want to watch that series. Yeah. So it's ridiculous. There's no conspiracy here, and people need to take their tinfoil hats off. So nothing is rigged here.
Okay, and we're the applause. Thank you. And we are back. Apparently, there we go. Yeah, why not? Yeah. Hey, can I just real quick? That's for Super Producer Jason. That's for you, buddy. The applause. Okay, Super Producer Jason having a little bit of technical difficulties again.
He's just sweating bullets back there, trying to figure out what's going on.
This isn't his normal the garage, if you want to call it, the set that we usually have, right? So he's doing the best he can. And thank you, Super Producer Jason, for getting us back up and rolling. Appreciate you, buddy. Hopefully, the stream is working for you guys a little bit better now. And Aaron, actually, aside from the "Hey, are you guys having technical difficulties?" comments, are there any other comments to pull out from here before they really start getting going here? I just have to look over your head and pay attention to that.
Pretty good said, Celebrini has a dog named Callie. Let's keep our hopes up. His favorite basketball player is Steph Curry.
Yeah.
His dad works for the Warriors. If this is rigged, then we are the best team. It only makes sense. Sure. People just nervous and worried about, you know, it's basically the Sharks. They can lose the pick. They can't gain the pick.
Right.
So Celebrini is here to. We're here to lose Celebrini. We have a 1-in-4 chance. 1-in-4 chance of getting him. It's crazy. I mean, it's the best odds out of anybody. But still, you have four cups with a ball underneath. Which one are you picking?
It's rough.
The
it's
odds
rough.
Are not in your favor. So, will this change the trajectory of the Sharks?
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely, it changes the trajectory of Sharks. I mean, honestly, when you inject, I know he's not Connor Bedard, okay, but when you inject a player with this level of talent into your already growing prospect pool, it can only be good things. And by all projections for everybody, every other analyst that's ever talked about him, he has always been the first overall. He is the consensus first overall. Everyone agrees on this. There is no mucky waters there. 2 through 10, it's a wild farm of just opinions. So everyone's agreeing on this one. So when it's one player that's standing out above the rest that far, absolutely. It's going to be somebody who changes your franchise. Absolutely, 100%. I think it'd be interesting now, too, when you start taking a look at the rest of the prospects that the Sharks have, and once you get them 1, 2, 3 years into being on the team, the way that they're going to gel together and the talent level that they're all going to start coming up with, right? I don't know. I'm very excited for the next couple of years of Sharks hockey. I think even next season will be fairly interesting to see. You know, even like for the Chicago Blackhawks, right? Mm-hmm. They're terrible too, okay? But at least they have somebody who's really fun to watch, and I'm sure that they were selling out lots of games simply because he was there. Right, so I think it could be the same level of excitement for Sharks fans, even though Celebrini may not be the same, like a Bedard clone. He's not quite on that level, right? I think he's still maybe not generational, but franchise changing, right?
The comparison I've seen is Jonathan Toews with a little bit more skill than Toews, and so someone who's going to be a leader on the team, and I mean, Taves was a fantastic player. Was he a superstar player? No. But I think Kane was that superstar player that complemented Taves very well. So imagine somebody like that, and then maybe we get, you know, a couple more prospects in, or even some high-end free agents in 2 seasons to play with them. So the future is looking good. And even without Celebrini, I still think the Sharks are... I still think they're going to be better next season than they were this season.
Oh. we have to be.
All right.
We have to be better.
I don't think it's going to be a historically bad season. I don't. They're not going to make playoffs next year. They're not going to be competing. But I think more of the higher end of the bottom 10 than the lower end of that team, of that list of players.
Yeah. And again, if you look at the process, the rebuild process, you look at what Mike Greer has done so far in his very short amount of time here, the prospect pool has looked so much better than it ever has. And yeah, I do think that next season, we're not going to be as bad as we were this season. And the season after that, we're going to be a little bit better. And I think it just kind of keeps growing to a point. Mm-hmm. But I think from here, we talked about last season, is this rock bottom? And I know that was a question from Mike Greer, even from one of the media members. Yes. Is this rock bottom? And he goes, gosh, I hope so, right? Yeah. Like, so it's not even I hope so. Like, this to me is it. This is rock bottom. From here, the Sharks are getting better. They are rebuilding. They are injecting talent. They are getting not just young players, but good young players. Ones who know what it's like to, you know, play in these playoff games, these championship games, NC2A, in the CHL, all those different things that they're doing. I think that they're going to bring that experience in with each other and kind of build off of that. And I'm very excited to see what veterans the Sharks keep around.
Right.
You know, Nico Sturm, Mikael Granlund. I'm telling you, Sturm is coming back. Okay. I don't want to hear it.
I don't think he's coming back.
Come on, man.
He's got one more year, right?
He's got one more year.
Yeah.
I extend him.
I don't think they're going to extend him.
I think you should.
I think he's going to move on.
Drinking that haterade over here. Okay,
I think they trade him at the deadline. Because the team's going to want him. That's why.
Yeah, a team may want him. I can see that.
Yeah.
But in other words, I just think that them having good veteran leadership talent around these young guys is only going to help them grow that much more. And once they get to the point where they don't need that leadership, they are that leadership core. Watch out, because this team's going to have a whole lot of talent all at once.
Yeah.
So, okay. What else?
All right. I don't know. Just still working on the feed and making sure that it's working, because some people...
You're working on the feed?
Yeah, I'm working
Super
on it right
Jason,
now.
He's replacing you over here. No, he's shaking his head. No, he's not doing a thing. Okay. Now, if the Sharks do not get the first overall, you've got your ideas on who you think the Sharks ought to pick.
If they don't get the first overall.
If they do not get the first overall.
Yes, if they get the second overall pick, what is it, the Russian guy?
Demidov.
I'm going to be terrible with these names,
okay,
by the way. But
so will I.
Demidov, I think that is, I mean, again, there's not really a consensus number two or three. It's kind of him and Levshunov?
Levshunov, yeah.
Yeah? I think I could go either way on one of those, but I think Demidov.
That one's easy compared to Levshunov. Come on, man.
Demidov, I think, would be a higher priority than Levshunov, but he's kind of smaller, and Greer likes to have, you know, you have to be 6'4" or higher to ride the ride at the Shanzi Shark.
Right.
So we'll see if he likes him. Now, there is that interesting prospect.
Right, let me, okay, real quick, Demidov, he's a right winger.
Yes.
So you think the Sharks should still go with a forward, another forward?
I mean, at this point, you want the best player
available.
I don't think they can, yes, they need a defensive prospect.
Even if we just said that for 2 through 10 is a mixing pot of opinions, so who's the best player moving forward?
To me,
I think
that player would be Demidov. So that's kind of I like. What about you?
Second
overall, if they got second overall pick.
Yeah, if they got second, I'm liking that Anton Siliev.
Siliev?
Yeah, I like him a lot. 6'7", 200 and something, but it doesn't matter.
Yes.
6'7", are you kidding me? This guy's a monster. He's huge. And he's got really good skating for his size. Excellent skating for his size. So he hasn't hit the top league he hasn't hit the NHL yet, right?
Right.
He's going to get better. Like, his skating is going to improve. And he's going to skate against better competition. It's going to force him to get better. His skating is going to be fantastic.
I don't think we'd see him in the NHL for 3-4 seasons.
I don't know about 3-4.
Maybe 2 or 3.
Yeah, maybe 2.
He's going to need to adjust the ice here.
Which,
If we don't see him for two seasons, what does that put us on timeline with? Come on, say it. Making the playoffs.
Yeah.
So I'm totally fine with that. If he wants to take some time off and play in the KHL or whatever it is, wherever he's at.
6'7" rookie.
Yes.
To a playoff team.
Yes.
I don't know.
If you had to fight a bear, but the bear only had 1 year of experience, would you care? No, I'm running from that bear. That dude is 6'7". He's a monster, I'm telling you.
That's because you're 5'7".
Well, whatever. Hateful. There's no applause thing up here. They're not supposed to be applauding and laughing, Super Producer Jason.
I think for me, I would go back to the Sharks could really use a very solid top-tier blue liner, and if that's who they think is going to be that guy, that's the guy I would pick. Now, there's a couple solid defensemen here. Dickinson's one of them. Mm-hmm. Levshunov's another. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember. There was one other defenseman that I cannot remember the name of. Bouillum. Bouillum, he's a much smaller guy. He's more offensive. He's got a fantastic skating. Just won the Frozen Four with Denver, and he stood out. Zeev Bouillum.
There are some Denver connections on the Sharks.
There's a little bit. Yeah, just a couple. Jeez, so much. Huh?
Well, there's a lot more Boston.
And then to Boston, yeah. Boston's more, but anyway. Yeah. And I'm looking at the screen over here to see if anything's going on.
They've even
so
started.
Far,
they've even done
so far, they just have a graphic of a puck.
Just a lot of commercial breaks from ESPN.
Yeah,
a lot. That's what that is.
All right. So how about some other comments or something else? I just want to try to fill some time before we have to do this thing here.
Sure. If you guys have any questions, you can feel free to come up to the microphone.
There's a microphone by the barrel if you'd like to use the microphone.
So. Devereaux, you're here. Come on. I'm expecting something big for you.
Oh, Devereaux's here.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, what's up? Yeah. How you doing? So glad to be sitting
Devereaux
here.
Devereaux guest hosted while Paul was out a few times.
I'm glad to be here and not be replaced.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Never, except twice. Either way.
Noah Claxton said, my attitude for the 25 season will be decided in the next 30 minutes. That's, yeah.
Even if they don't get Macklin, okay, even if they don't get him, there's still a good crop of players.
Right. There was a great question on Reddit earlier that I answered was, what are the short-term, I guess medium-term and long-term projections for the Sharks if they do get Celebrini? And I said, immediate, short-term and long-term. I said immediate, season tickets are just going to skyrocket. As soon as they draft him. As soon as they do this, the season tickets are going to jump.
Yeah.
People are going to be excited. Short term, I think Sharks will be going. Go ahead.
So real quick, they're looking at who's going to get the 14th pick now. It's Pittsburgh is slotted to get it unless they moved up. Pittsburgh is the 14th pick. The Sharks will have that. There's no discussion about that one. So yeah.
Pittsburgh?
Okay. Good.
Mike Greer on the screen. There's
Mike Greer on screen looking puzzled. I don't know. Is he happy, guys? I don't know. He's thinking. Who can I pick at 14? Okay, so they're looking at the 13th pick now, and it's supposed to go to Minnesota, and it does.
So this is kind of boring, huh?
I know. And then the next one. But see, this is the last one that has any consequence for us. So
hopefully it is not.
Okay, so Philadelphia did not win the lottery, so they're still in 12th. So at this point, if anybody wins, they can move up 10 spots. Again,
the Sharks
would lose that. Now, there's still a chance that if you see a change, it's not the first. It could be the second. So the Sharks could have won the first, and the change that you see in the order could be due to somebody winning the second. So if we see it out of order, don't freak out. Wait until we see the second overall pick, and then we will know. So how you feeling?
A little nervous, I guess.
Yeah,
okay. It's real now.
They're actually burning through these picks faster than I thought they were. They're actually running right through 11. Buffalo just retained 11, so they didn't move up at all.
All right.
And it looks like they're just going to keep trucking, so we'll just keep talking about it here. Pick number 10 stays with New Jersey Devils. That was one that if the New Jersey Devils had gone to the Stanley Cup Finals the conference finals would have belonged to San Jose, right?
Right. Yeah. Or won the conference finals or go to Stanley. I can't remember if it was win the conference finals or get to the conference finals.
Make the conference finals and Meyer had to play half the games. Yeah. That was a condition. If they did that, then that pick
it wouldn't have been 10, number 10.
Well,
it would have been number protected 28, 29.
Well, yeah, fair. Yeah, absolutely.
It wouldn't have mattered.
Right.
Here we go. So now we're putting it up on here.
Super Jason, look at you. Yeah. My goodness, he's got the whole pre-draft order. He's putting
start
it up.
Filling them in here.
So that you guys can see it on the stream if you're not watching on ESPN.
Right.
Pick number 9 stays with Calgary. Nothing moving there, so
Nothing's moving, huh? It's getting a little scary.
I'm okay.
It's getting real.
Pick number 8.
The room's getting a lot quieter right now.
Seattle, it stays with Seattle. Pick number 7 for Ottawa. We're going to turn this one over. I'm going to see if Ottawa stays where they are.
I'm hoping this continues to be the most boring draft lottery ever.
Yes, yes. Ottawa stays at 7. Okay, all right, okay. 6, Utah. The Utah hockey team. That is
their
name right now.
Team. The Utes.
No. Flips it, and it is Utah. Okay, okay, okay. Guys, you feeling nervous over there?
Yes.
Yeah, a little bit. Fingers crossed. Hey, buddy, how you doing? All right, 5, Montreal stays with Montreal. Okay. And here they're probably going to take a commercial break because...
Ratings gold right now.
Yeah, it's all right. All right, so the next 4, by the way, are the same 4 as the previous year. It's San Jose, Chicago, Anaheim, and Columbus, not necessarily in that order. But it is the same 4 that were the bottom 4 in the league last season. So each one of these teams, horrible, and looking to get better. Looking to get
constantly
better.
Constantly rebuilding, yes.
So, and this is the way that you get your team to be better is building through the draft. A lot of guys will try to do, trading everybody away, picking up, high-end talent that way, or going through a free agency. And you can get some gems in free agency, and you can make some good trades and everything else, but this truly is the best way to build your team out is through this draft. Okay, number 4 stays with Columbus. Okay. Oh, man.
Well, no, San Jose lost.
Number 3 is Anaheim, so we're going to see...
Please be a
They got Mike Greer, Kyle Davidson from Chicago, and Pat Verbeek from Anaheim. All the 3 GMs are staring at the camera right now. There's Macklin Celebrini right there. Baby-faced assassin, kind of like Steph Curry. Looks a little bit like me. I shaved for you guys. Everybody here is going, San Jose's your home, buddy. Yeah, let's do it. All right, so I think they are taking a commercial break, right?
Of course.
Yeah, they are. Of course. Yeah, okay, of course. Okay. Okay, so thus far, to recap, picks 4 through 16 have been set, and there has been zero movement whatsoever. Aaron's laughing at something. It's probably a message,
I'm
so
laughing.
Go ahead.
No, I'm not. Did they even do the lottery? Was it just like...
Oh, did they?
Nothing
moved then.
Nothing has moved, right, yet. And that makes sense because we talked about, all the percentage chances of, the top teams. It's only 0.25%. Well, the 4th team is like, 7%?
Yeah.
It's pretty low. So the odds of them winning in this draft, very, very low. Thankfully, again, the Sharks do have the best odds out of anybody left.
How about we do this? Let's do a roll call.
Go ahead. Let's do a roll call.
Roll call. Tell us where you're watching from, what city you're watching from, and... tell us where you think the Sharks are going to land, 1, 2, or 3, before they come back from break.
So, a round of applause, okay, first, do you think that the Sharks are going to end up with the 3rd overall pick? Oh, smart people. What? What?
Covering my
bases. Do you think they'll end up with the 2nd? Oh, man, first, who's, yeah. Hey, positive energy, right? You gotta have it, bud. Aaron's so pessimistic.
He's like, too many years of disappointment. Like,
I don't want to be disappointed. I don't want to get my hopes up. The entire season, that was your mantra. I don't want to get my hopes up.
Burned too many times by this team.
Yeah, it's
so
true.
We'll see.
Truly.
I'm just kidding. I hope they get first.
No, of course. Of course we hope they get first. Yeah. I don't know, guys. So, okay, where are people watching from, and what do they think?
I don't know. I'm waiting for that to come in here. So,
you guys will start going. Slow when you're typing, I guess.
Let's see. Budo Dojos in Toronto.
Oh.
Sharks land number 1. We have some international people. There's some people from Sweden in here earlier.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
I think the time change being earlier here is helping with the East Coast people for sure.
Very cool. Very cool.
I think we'll post those up. I don't know if Jason has the graphic for that or not. But,
okay.
Ron Spittler's in San Diego. In a stunning upset, the Sharks will end up with the 17th overall pick.
No. Come on.
Vince over here just doing quotes for movies.
Here's a question for you.
Yeah. It was Baltimore. Boating accidents from Baltimore.
If the Sharks end up with 2 or 3,
Do they do the Graham special in trade down?
That's what I was thinking. I was going to say that earlier. I wouldn't be shocked if they did that.
But the question is, who's got the picks in the orders that they want, right?
I mean, maybe they move down two spots because they know a team, or a team wants to jump in and they know they want to get their guy.
Oh, boy. Okay, Macklin Celebrini. He's only 17 years of age, by the way. Very, very young guy. Youngest Hobie Baker winner, I believe, is what they said. Yeah. And one of the younger ones in the draft.
It's weird.
Number three.
He was a freshman.
Here comes number three.
Who's it going to be?
Ducks. Anaheim Ducks.
So they have the number two.
So
minimum number two.
The worst the Sharks can pick now is second. It comes down to Chicago, of course, because it would. And the San Jose Sharks, Mike Greer, sweating bullets, looking like super producer Jason right now.
I don't want to see Mike Greer cry.
Now this is for the first. Whoever this is the first.
First overall pick.
Will it be? Martinis with the Celebrinis. Let's go! Aaron!
Oh my god.
I'm getting up. I gotta get some high fives.
I'm shocked. Woo! I'm shocked here.
Give me some! Yes, sir! Yes, indeed! Woo! Yes! Give me some! You too, high five, all the way out there. Boom, there you go.
Woo! Watch your step. I can't believe it. Mac and Celebrini, man. Needed that. That's huge, man. You know what's funny? Zero teams moved during this.
That's
they?
Nuts.
There's not one team that moved.
That is bonkers.
So it was all.
As bonkers as I just went.
Right.
Crazy.
Are you okay?
I gotta breathe.
Yeah.
I need a sip of something.
I'm gonna say, I think we're gonna need some drinks.
Goodness
there.
Gracious. I might have to get some champagne after that. Oh, I'm shaking right now, people. Oh.
Wow.
Oh. Wow.
All right.
Hopefully you enjoyed that.
Now that that's out of the way.
Yeah.
Who are the Sharks gonna draft?
Oh God. Do they trade down? Oh man.
No.
Macklin Celebrini.
They now have a gem prospect.
Meant to be.
In their pipeline. Do we see Celebrini next year?
I think you do.
Yeah?
I think you do. I think you see Macklin show up in Teal next year.
Do you think Will Smith is gonna sign now with the Sharks now that Celebrini 100%. Is playing?
Yep. I think you start seeing a lot of guys that are high-end prospects that the Sharks are going, you know, I think he's on the cusp. I think he's ready. I think you start seeing a lot of those guys looking real good in training camp. Real good. They're going to get motivated. Absolutely.
This is a huge deal for the San Jose Sharks.
It's massive.
Obviously, their first overall pick after they got kind of screwed over by the league with Eric Lindros, but... That's neither here nor there. This is amazing.
Aaron's bitter from
I'm still
long
kind of shocked.
Right
now. Yeah, my hurt goes deep. It goes deep, way back.
Yeah.
I think Will Smith is going to be signing with the Sharks. I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe we hear it this week.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, he's playing in the what tournament is it? He's playing in a tournament coming up for USA
think.
Team USA. He's going to be playing with Cunnin.
Yeah.
But after that, maybe he signs after that.
Yeah.
Because maybe the Sharks don't want to take on that risk if he gets injured. Just kidding.
That's terrible.
It's terrible.
No, I'm thinking we see a pretty solid young crop making this team next season. I'm very excited for the future of the San Jose Sharks. They got Macklin up there right now. He's talking. You can't hear what he's saying because we don't have the audio on, but he's smiling, and I promise you, he's very happy to be in the Bay Area, right? He's right next to mom and dad.
Yep.
And his brothers. He's got, I didn't know this, Aiden Celebrini, a sixth round draft pick last season for Vancouver. And I guess he ended up playing with Boston with his little brother this last season.
Oh,
that's
what
they were saying.
In college?
I missed that altogether.
Oh, that's cool. I knew he had a brother. I knew he got drafted.
I believe he has a younger brother, too. We're not going to talk about him because he's awesome, too. But
better than Macklin?
We don't know. But wouldn't it be nice, right, if we had some brothers on the team?
Well, just saying. The new Hughes family?
Yes, exactly. So... I'm obviously excited. I'm so happy for the San Jose Sharks. I'm happy for this fan base. We've put up with a lot. We've been through a lot. And for this little teeny tiny win of getting a first overall for the first time ever in franchise history.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Perfect quote right here from Mercedes BMW Porsche. Great name.
Okay.
I bet they drive a Jeep. Makes these horrific season all worth it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
It's been a terrible season. The Sharks haven't made it in 5 seasons now. But seeing the deconstruction, this Mike Greer's status with the Sharks as the GM, I think, is just going to shoot up.
Because, absolutely.
Wow. And again, it wasn't like
he didn't do anything.
It wasn't
like
luck either.
Yeah.
Or I mean, luck, like he got was the eighth place and won the draft lottery or something like that. So. Well done.
By the way, I just want to let you guys know that if you could have made it out here, you should have. They're cracking champagne right now. Everyone's, hey. Oh, we got the spray going on. All right. Yeah, there you go. He's shaking that bottle up like an F1 winner over here, buddy. There you go. Looking like Max Verstappen. All right.
Just another thanks to Ancora Vino for hosting us here today.
Absolutely.
And it looks like we might be doing this again in the future now that it's becoming a tradition.
Yeah.
So maybe during the season we'll be doing some viewing parties here.
I hope it's not a tradition because I don't want us to be this bad all the time.
I didn't mean the draft or the lottery.
All right, good.
I meant through the season.
Yeah, good.
We'll be here.
Good,
so good. Keep an eye out for that. We'll figure that out and pass that along to you when we know.
Fantastic. Again, thanks again to Ancora Vino here in the littlest Little Italy.
That's right.
Beautiful downtown San Jose. And thanks again to everybody who came out to the live viewing. First ever live viewing of the Fin Factor show. We've done live shows before, but it's live to just a camera.
I think
it's very different having it with actual people here.
At maximum, one other person in the studio.
Yeah,
because
Debbie.
There's no room in there at all.
Oh, Debbie and 3G.
N3G, yes. Greg was there one time. So,
okay.
I mean, Devereaux's been there as a host, and you've seen how small it is in there. So spacious, spacious for us, but everyone else, off camera, there's no room at all. This is really cool. This is
fun. Any last comments or anything else you want to?
Just let's go. Does anyone want to take the microphone and go on there and say anything? Feel free.
On the mic, say something or have a question or anything like that? No?
No. Everyone's too shy.
Go ahead.
The mic's right there. You can go right up there.
Hey, who are we drafting with number 14 now?
That's a good question.
Yeah, so that is going to very much depend on what the other teams decide they want for themselves. Because a lot of these guys that are slotted to go in like that 8, 9, 10 might not be on these other guys' boards and they might go past them. So it could be that a guy that was supposed to go at like 8, 9, or 10 is going to be available at 14. I wish we had Graham here for that too because he could really go and drill
his
down on some of these guys.
His list is very different than, I mean, everyone's list is very different. So these prospects outside of Celebrini are just all over the map.
And remember, Cole Iserman, this is how much guys can fall. Cole Iserman was slotted at number 2 a long time ago. All of a sudden, he's down in like the tens and teens, right? So can you imagine if there was Cole Iserman still available because he just kept falling.
Right.
Now.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Right? Can you imagine the Sharks picking up Macklin Celebrini and Cole Iserman in this draft?
I'd like to see them do is get a defenseman. Assuming there's a good, there's not a difference of like, you know, taking a fifth defenseman versus a number 2 winger or something that at that point. It kind of depends on what other teams are going to do and who they're going to take. I don't know what the Sharks board looks like because everyone has their own board and their favorites, and I'm sure they're all, you know, meeting about it right now. Now they know where the chips fell for both their pick and the Pittsburgh pick. Man, this draft is going to be awesome. Also, the Sharks just announced today, I don't know if you saw this, but they are doing a draft party like they did last season at the arena.
Yes.
And you can get your tickets. I think if you go to the Sharks website, it's on Ticketmaster. I don't know if it costs anything. I can't remember if it did. It might be like $5 or something. But is it free?
Yeah, it's free.
Okay. It's cool. We went last year, and we might be there again. I haven't contacted the Sharks yet about it. But last year, we were posted up at there, and it was really cool. The ice isn't done yet, so it's cement.
Yeah.
And it's open, like, so you can go on kind of the ice level, and they have a bunch of games and a bunch of stuff for families, and they play the draft live on the big screen, and everyone's, you know, having a good time, and then when the picks come in, I mean, they're going to have 2, And the way the draft works is the first round is one day. So the very first day, and that's when the party is just for the first round, and the Sharks have two picks for it, which is great. Yeah, yeah. And then picks are rounds 2 through 7 are the next day, which they don't do anything for. So it's just for the first round. And obviously it's going to be a big party because we know they're going to be picking first overall and getting Celebrini. So fantastic. It'll be fun. And I don't want to say we'll be there for sure, but I'm positive we will be there. How about that?
Yeah. I don't want to say for sure, but
we need to plan it out with the Sharks and make sure that we have a space like we did last year.
I have a feeling they'll welcome us to that. So just
and last year was fun because we had, who do we have on? We had Dan Boyle on. We had
Scott Hannon,
Doug Bentz, the chief marketing officer. Was there one more?
Murray wasn't there. There's somebody else I'm missing. And I'm sorry, and I will remember it later.
I forget.
And put it in the comments down below, like you should be doing right now. So there you go. Any last bits here? Oh, yeah.
What do you do about the coaching situation now?
Yes.
Established coach, or do you want like a new kind of...
So for me,
The question was what we do for a coach because we need another microphone. Just repeating it.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, he would like to know what we do for a coach going forward. For me, the firing of David Quinn was less about he's not a competent coach and more about it makes sense when you're bringing in all this young talent to start off with a coach that starts with them. Right. If you've got a coach in David Quinn, he lasts one more season and then you let him go. You've got all these kids that are learning his way of hockey and then having to unlearn that with the next coach. So to me, for me, it just made sense to go with a new coach, regardless of kind of who it is, to go with a new coach with that new crop of young talent. Now, who are they going to take? That's the big question. And we've had a lot of discussion about this on a previous show. And it's funny because you brought up a name that all of a sudden everybody else brought up after the fact.
Thank you.
I'm not patting him on the back. It's more on the shoulder. But who is that guy?
Former Shark Nico Sturm.
Marco Sturm.
Marco Sturm.
Nico Sturm is currently,
I always mix up.
You know, currently a player who will get extended 7x7. You heard it first.
I always laugh because during the show, I'm always like, it's Nico. It's not Marco. It's Nico. Marco Sturm, who did coach the German national team, and then he's been in the system with the LA Kings.
Yes.
He's an assistant coach. Now he's been coaching their minor league, head coaching their minor league team.
Ontario Reign.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I was going to say Syracuse. That was the wrong one. I think he's going to be in the running, and I can't remember. I have to go back and look, but I'm pretty sure he was interviewed for the job when Quinn came in. So he's already kind of been in the fold with Greer and in the interview process before. But I think getting that head coaching experience the last two seasons with the AHL team and having success is going to be a big part of it. And having major success with Team Germany because they won a silver medal and they were a surprise team. And to go hand in hand with that in 2 years, there's going to be a certain free agent hitting the market that happens to be a German national, Leon Draisaitl, playing for the Edmonton Oilers. That would be enormous if the Sharks, Edmonton, there's still a chance Edmonton could sign him, obviously, and extend him starting after July 1st this year. They can sign an extension. Right. But if they don't sign an extension, that is going to be the major story, I think, all season. Every reporter, everyone's going to ask, every post-game, asking the team, when is Draisaitl going to get extended?
Yes.
Is he going to get extended?
Absolutely.
And blah, blah, blah. It's a terrible... I hate it for Leon Draisaitl if he's not going to sign because it's just going to be a pain to deal with all season. But I'm also hopeful that he signs with the Sharks in two seasons from now because that would be amazing.
I think the level of success he's having with Connor McDavid, I don't think he hits the free agent market. But hey, fingers crossed. And if anything,
I don't know,
if having Marco Sturm as a head coach helps bring in that talent, I'm cool with it.
Look at Toronto. Toronto's big, was it big four, big three?
San Jose is not Toronto.
No. I'm talking about Edmonton.
Yeah.
They have Marner, they have Matthews, and they have Nylander, right? They're not getting it done. Now, go to Edmonton. They have McDavid and Draisaitl. They're not getting it done. If they lose again in the next round, because they just won this round. If they lose again and they can't get past that second round, do you think the team's going to want to blow it up and say, you know what, not blow it up, but maybe we should go in a different direction and let Draisaitl walk? Kind of like how Toronto's now in a predicament of what are they going to do? Because, for one, they're over the salary cap and they have some free agents coming up in Marner and Tavares.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not out of the question that Draisaitl could hit the free agency market. And the Sharks just so happen to have a German national team coach and a lot of cap space and a lot of money that can get spent by a very generous owner who goes all the way to the cap. What?
I said we have Teskeys right there.
We have Teskeys Germania right here down the street. You'll feel at home.
Oh, God.
Perfect. There's a free plug for Teskeys. Yeah.
What? I think you've been playing too much NHL 24.
I don't know, man. It's
straight GM mode over here. I love it.
Just some food for thought.
Look, if it happens, then you heard it here first. And I certainly did not see it happening.
That means you'd have Dreisaitl as your number one center, and you'd have Will Smith / Celebrini as your number two, probably one of them playing a wing.
Playing wing, yeah.
That's a pretty good team right there. Pretty good top six.
Okay, there you go. So if you're not a Sharks fan right
now, Musty,
you're doing it wrong.
This is the time to jump on the bandwagon of the Sharks. Getting the first overall pick.
We got heated seats.
So different. No, we don't.
We don't. We got ventilated seats. We don't have those either. I don't know. The bandwagon. It's a pretty bad bandwagon. Doesn't have.
I thought you were talking about in the arena.
No, I meant on the bandwagon. Jump in, you said.
Got it.
Okay.
Sorry, my friend's a little slow.
Anyway, okay, I think, are we done? Or any other last questions, stuff? No? I think they just want to get the champagne. How about you? You got a question or a comment on
no,
that?
No, I'm just reading some of the comments and catching up in here.
Did my dad get it figured out yet? My dad's in there. He's like, how come it's the stream's not working?
I think he left.
Sorry, he doesn't sound like that at all. Just,
yes, he does.
I love it. Hey, you watch your mouth, Adam. Sick of you.
Travis McLean, Montana representing.
So oh, cool.
Montana watching. Travis is also in the fantasy league.
The draft is not rigged. Who said that? Is that Anthony?
Anthony said that, yeah. He also said Joel Ward for the next coach for the Sharks. Another one that's in the running. That's another, and Bri Jones just asked, so does winning the lottery confirm Smith signs? I think so.
Yeah, Aaron had said that earlier. Yeah, we think... we think we'll start seeing some of these guys,
that man
these
hiring guys. Yeah. Why stay in the NCAA?
Nah, I don't think he wants to. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he stays. All right.
Okay.
Any other questions from anyone else?
Good.
Yeah.
Any chance that Musty makes the roster?
Question was, any chance that Musty makes the roster? It's Jeff, who's normally in the comment section. He's in person, live and in person. I think, even before this, I thought he was going to have a very good chance of making the roster. Now, it's going to depend on his camp and whatever else, but I think he is. What does he have left to prove in the OHL?
He's gonna kill it in camp, I'm telling you.
He's already killing the OHL.
That's what I'm saying. He's hungry.
Like the OHL is like, or all the other teams in the OHL are like, I hope he makes it in camp because we don't want to play against him. This guy's a beast.
Yep.
So I'm hoping that he makes the team, and I mean, I don't want to say it's a given. Nothing's a given. He has an opportunity to make the team, and I think he has a very good chance of doing so. Yeah. He's probably one of my favorite prospects, even more so than Will Smith. Yeah. He's a beast, man. He's just going to, even Celebrini, you know what you're going to get. Musty, I think, is kind of a wild card here and should not have gone, was it 24th overall?
Yeah, he's pretty
deep. Draft?
Yeah.
That's 26?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he should have gone probably 10 picks earlier than that. So. The Sharks are very lucky to get him. And another name you guys are going to want to remember, Quinton Musty. He's going to be a beast. Anything else? Sorry. Any other questions? Anyone? No? No? No?
Cool. Okay. All again, right. Thank you so much to Ancora Vino.
Yes, in the littlest Little Italy.
Yes. It sounds so weird to say that.
Well, there's a
bigger Little Italy?
There's a section called Little Italy.
Okay.
This whole this building, because there's multiple things in this building, is littlest Little Italy.
Okay, so it's smaller than Little Italy.
Correct.
Got it. That's why littlest.
Yes.
Fantastic. Okay. So thanks again for providing the venue. Thanks again to everybody for coming out and supporting us for the first live show. Yes. Thank you, guys. Thanks. Thanks again, as always, to everybody who's on the stream in the comments live. We appreciate you guys. And thanks again to Super Producer Jason, everybody. Give it up. Fans an animal. He's the Quinton Musty of producing. He's a beast.
You get that guy a towel for all the sweat.
I need to get him a towel. This poor guy looks, you're shiny. My goodness.
Shinier than me.
Super Producer Jason, we had a little trouble with the stream earlier. He's always on point, cleaning things up, fixing us up, and of course the lighting and everything going around us. That's all him. We just sit here and talk. So thanks so much for making us look good.
Right.
And congratulations again to the San Jose Sharks and Mike Greer on getting the first overall pick for the first time in franchise history, and to Macklin Celebrini for not having to move very far. Good?
Good.
Done. This has been episode 212. I'm Paul.
And I'm Aaron.
And for Super Producer Jason, we will see you guys
at the draft.
At the draft. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in. If you like this episode, check out our other content, especially interviews. You can interact with us directly through social media at The Fin Factor and on Instagram at Fin Factor. And don't forget to join our live streams on YouTube.
Visit our website at thefinfactor.com, where you'll find all of our episodes as videos or podcasts. You'll also find our exclusive merchandise to help support our show.